But Dad, isn't it time for illegal ham interface?
But bro, where's the banjo?
Some Cleveland sports shows try to give you hot takes, but only one can give you a big old piece of hot ham. Welcome to Illegal Ham to the Face. Talking all Cleveland sports. And don't forget our Fat Boy Tuesday, where we also ham it up with some fun food topics. Without further ado, let's serve up some ham. Here are the Ham Boys. Fatty. And Big Bri.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome on into Illegal Ham to the Face. I am that fat guy, Jared Fatty Bates. He is Big Bri. What is going on, big fella?
Oh, living the dream still, you know.
You look a little heartbroken, but we'll get into that a little bit later. How was your weekend down in Hocking Hills? Beautiful family weekend.
Oh, glorious. It's always a great time. And, dude. It's such a shame that the Browns had to ruin it, because it was just the perfect lead up to. I'll have to send you the video of our setup. We had the projector screen set up above the giant fireplace, and like seven couches pulled around this projector, this giant fire, and the screen above it. That's probably, I don't know, 100-inch screen or something like that to watch the Browns game. And then they do that. So it was too good to be true. I should have known.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. We'll get into that here a little bit later. Our show is brought to you by Hero Keel and Lake Erie APA, also City Dogs Cleveland. We are a part of Network 216. So come join us in the chat here. We have the chats up. Justin already chimed in right here. Hashtag re-sign Flacco. So here they all come. I'm sure we'll get some more flying in here, Bri. I do have to tell you, little birdie told me about the family costume that you guys wore down there. It was like a wrestling singlet, and I'm going to get my hands on that picture at some point in time. Now, was it as precious as the pose on top of the log out at 14 Green?
That was brought up this weekend. We were going through some pictures on Friday night, and that was brought up for the whole family to see. This one was, yeah, not quite as epic as that. And I was at one of these overstock stores or something like that last April or something like that, and I picked up these. I thought they were wrestling singlets, but somebody told me that they might have been biker. Bikers wear them. Do you know what I'm talking about? They look exactly like a singlet, but they're for bikers, I guess, because they had a pad, like a, you know, one of those butt pads that goes in your girdle. And so it was actually perfect for me, because I fell down the stairs twice last year. I fell down the stairs once going to the hot tub because, you know, it was January, negative temperatures, and the water just freezes like that. So going down those stairs, I fell and slid down, and I can't remember if I showed you the bruise or something like that. It was instantly black. The next morning, it was all black. And then going down to my bedroom later that night, I fell down the stairs too. So it was kind of poetic to have an American flag singlet with a little butt pad for me.
Oh my God, I have got to get that picture. Oh my Lord, I can't wait. Justin chimed in and said to Brian, get some assless chaps.
So I'll run along those lines, and maybe that'll be next year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, well, let's. Oh my God, I can just picture. Now, did they actually like fit, or were they like the youth medium? Or
No. So. And I got one for me and my cousin, and he's a bigger boy too. So I got him a 2X, and I got me a 3X, figuring there'd be no problem fitting into those. A 3X in like the big and tall section is not equivalent to a 3X biker. A 3X biker is probably someone who's 185 pounds. So I was trying to snug into that, and it was not that easy. Definitely a couple beers for the Browns game helped me get into that one.
Oh my God. All right. Somebody has got to have a videotape of it too, right?
No, there's pictures. I don't know if there's videos or not. So there's only a few pictures.
We're going to have to talk to Ashley. We're going to have to figure this. We're going to get
maybe
down.
She does. She might.
She might have it. She was the sober one in the whole group.
Yeah, she'll give them up too. She'll give them up real quick. I know that.
MC Lawrence chimed in and said, Bri looks much more manly without the Michigan gear.
Oh, come on. But guess what? I don't look like a champion today. So I apologize for that.
All right. Bri, do you have any shout outs this week, bud? You
guys since he brought it up, I guess that's a good transition. Just when you thought all my Michigan shout outs were over, Monday, I was off and I watched a basketball game against the 12-win Ohio State and the 6-win Michigan team. And wouldn't you know it, Ohio State got dominated by Michigan once again. So not their year, not their decade. Sorry, Columbus buddies. But, you're second fiddle now.
I know. I kind of figured that was coming because I saw the score, too, and I'm like, of course, I got to do a show with Bri.
Michigan's not even good. They're not that good this year, and they still – I mean, they're in Columbus head. That's all right.
That's all right. I get it. I mean, we had our decade to shine, and it's, you know, your turn now.
Right, sure.
I'll let you have it.
Turn. Thank you.
Only shout outs I got right now, Bri. I got a shout out to your cousin. He's in tearing the hell out of the golf course now. So
I heard he's out yesterday. There
just
6 and 7.
Yeah, just chopping the shit out of it. So we got that going on. And also wanted to shout out guys, what they're predicting tomorrow for snow. If you're going out, please be safe. Don't be stupid, ignorant driving. It's going to be messy for everybody. You know, just take your time. Be, you know, cautious of other people because I had to sit on, what was it, Tuesday? I peeled out of work at lunchtime, Bri. It took me 2 hours and 35 minutes to get home from work.
Sheesh.
They had 480 Valley View Bridge completely shut down, and they filtered traffic over by, and they had Granger Road shut down going down over the hill or whatever that tourney or whatever hell road that is. They had that hill shut down. So you had to go out to, you know, somewhere really deep in Garfield Heights to come around and go back around it. But yeah, for a, I was half a mile away from the exit there at transportation. And it took me 45 minutes just to get to that.
I don't miss those days. No, not at all.
But just everybody be careful tomorrow. They're talking about it being a shit show up here. So what they say, anywhere between 5 and 8 inches tomorrow.
Something like that.
So just be careful when you're driving. Just make sure you keep an eye out for everybody else. And please give the plow drivers room to let them do the work that they got to do. You know, give them some extra space. That's the only shout outs I got, Bri.
Cool.
We do have trivia tonight. We do have a new puppy. So let me play the trivia sounder tonight because I got two trivias for you tonight, bud. Let me play.
All right.
Let me find a clicker here. Click, 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 bang. And our trivia is brought to you by City Dog Cleveland. Love City Dogs, Bri. They're definitely amazing. So let's get our City Dog of the Week this week. His name is, as soon as I scroll up here, there it is. Our Dog of the Week is Jinx. All right, Bri. Now this guy, I feel bad for this guy, Bri. Holidays, got adopted. Okay. Got returned. Okay. He is 1 year old. He is 55 pounds. Okay. He is a bundle of joy. I'll show you pictures here in a second. He is with the foster family now. Now, here is the first part of the trivia, Bri. I'll give it to you right now. Now, I'm going to show you the pictures. They did a DNA test on Jinx. Okay. He has four dog breeds. Okay? Can you name those dog breeds while we take a look at some pictures here? Here is Jinx. Look at that face. 1 year old. You can get him. He has his own page, Adopt City Dog Jinx. Please go check him out. What a beautiful little puppy. Yeah, I've seen that face before in my house. Like, you woke me up too early. What is this? And then here's one picture right here with the Christmas lights and everything else. So, Bri, let's see here. Do you have any guesses on Jinx's breeds?
I'll guess a pit bull to start out.
That is
I'm going to say a boxer because they're kind of similar.
It's close, but no.
I'll say a Weinreiner. Kind of looks maybe that color. And then what the heck? Let's go with a shepherd.
All right. Well, you got two of them.
Okay.
Two of the four.
Gotcha.
So
I'll take it.
I'll give everybody is American Pit Bull Terrier and German Shepherd. And then there are two more. And if somebody get them there in the comments, I'll shout you out if you get them. So let's see here. Spaniel, Shepherd. You got the Shepherd already. Man, that is right. We're going to be in the 50s next week, Bri.
Oh, is that right? Good. I don't have to shovel my drive this weekend then.
Yeah, you might want to still shovel your drive this weekend, but you got like the shortest driveway ever.
I do. Yes, you're absolutely right. I do.
Like a fart in the wind and that thing's done.
Really nice.
All right, Bri. The other trivia brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. Bri, you ready? It's going to be a food trivia, buddy.
Oh, boy. All right.
What is the world's favorite cookie?
For the world. Oh, boy.
The world.
I don't know. They eat some weird cookies overseas. So it's probably. Oh, okay. Well, maybe I got something for you.
All right. Just. I know they eat a lot of weird stuff. It was going to be soup, Bri. But the soup subject, it kind of got away from me. And there's like. Did you know that the United States national soup is gumbo? I did not know that.
No idea, have I ever had gumbo.
That was a wormhole I went down before the show. I just started searching stuff. I'm like, wow, okay, here we go. All right, Bri, so give me that at the end of the show. What is the world's favorite cookie? All right.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what time it is, Bri? It's time for your Cleveland headlines. You ready?
Let's do it.
First off, on your Cleveland headlines, we'll get into the Browns here in just a second, but your Cleveland Cavaliers are on fire right now, Bri. We are in fourth place. I think we're 25 and like 13 or something like that. We just stomped on the Milwaukee Bucks last night, beat them by 40 points, even though there was no Giannis because of a shoulder bruise. Man, sure. I hate when the shoulder. Hey, here you go, Bri. Shoulder bruise happens, you know, here in Cleveland, of course, and they're on ESPN, and the shoulder bruise happens when he's here in Cleveland. Stupid. You know, stupid contusion on his probably non-shooting shoulder, but, you know, can't do it. So, Cavs are doing pretty good right now. Jared Allen is a double-double machine, and Donovan Mitchell is playing his ass off right now, and we don't have Garland or Mobley, so I can't wait to see what happens when they get back in the fray. I know you haven't really paid much attention, Bri, but you've heard the rumblings. I mean, how do you like that the Cavs are being this good right now? Because at the beginning, we were like, wow, these guys are just kind of like halfing it right now. They're just, they're 500. It's going to be a long season. And now they're doing it without two of their superstars, Bri.
Yeah, it's great. I don't really know what to think of it, to be honest, because they're going on this great stretch without, like you said, probably the two pillars of their franchise, and Garland and Mobley, and they're playing great without them. And so, I don't know. To me, it makes me wonder. You know, maybe this roster is not constructed the greatest. Maybe it's time to make some moves and to get some of these guys out of here, and maybe decide what direction you want to go in. Because I don't know. I think we've seen enough of Garland and Mitchell to know that maybe it's not the best combination. So a thought I had today was, as much as we love him, maybe it's time to move on from Darius Garland. I think if you can get a full-time commitment from Mitchell and you add Mobley to this team now, and you also add, what have we been missing ever since LeBron has left? Physical, athletic three guard that can play on the wing and kind of do it all and create his own shot. So if there's an opportunity out there to trade Garland for a three guard, I think that fills out your starting lineup really nice, because you can have Strus play the two, you have Mitchell at the one, and then you get a 6'7", 6'8", wing that can create his own shot. I know it's probably – that's what everyone in the NBA is looking for, so it's easier said than done. But Garland's talented enough. I hate to say, you know, look to move him, because I do like him a lot as a person and a player. But I think what's best for this team is you got to split these guys up. That's the only way I can explain them going on this run that they're on right now. Because how are they better without Garland and Mobley? Yeah. It doesn't make sense, unless you're just telling me like the Browns, like we saw with the Browns at the end of the season, to where they're just playing easier teams now, or they're playing teams like the Bucks last night, who clearly had no interest in winning the game, and we're just getting lucky that way, which is a whole different discussion about the NBA. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I'm pretty sure they're just going to stay status quo, though, and give it another run into the playoffs. And who knows, if they make a run in the playoffs, I'll be proven wrong. And hopefully we can keep this group together for a while. But, it's something I've been clamoring for a while, is a 6'7", 6'8", wing player that can create his own shot. And right now we have nothing close to that.
Yeah. I was watching our boys on Voice of Land last night. I was watching Kevin and Jay last night. And Kevin brought up one hell of a point that, you know, if it should happen. Now, I don't know if it will happen, but I kind of like his take on it. Is, you know, you have your two teams. Let's just put it this way. So first team would be Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, because they're playing great together. And then the second team have Garland and Mobley play together, kind of like Allen and Mitchell. And have them set up that way, come off the bench and do like a first team, second team when they need a break, and try not to play them together as much, but give you like a 1-2 punch of pretty much the entire game of a driving point guard and plus a big man that can, you know, move around.
Yeah, that sounds great, but in the NBA, you want your best players on the court at the same time. You know, what do you do at the end of the game when it's a tight game? Do you just throw them all on the same court? Or do you still do that first team, second team, and then you have two of your best players riding the pine? It would be nice. It's the way the roster has been constructed, to where you have duplicates. You have two great 6-foot guards. You have two great defensive big men that right now don't have much of an outside game. So, ideally, if Mobley can continue to develop, and it seems like we've been waiting for a while and we've been very patient with him, if he can develop into a game like Kevin Garnett, I know he doesn't have the persona or the personality of a Kevin Garnett. He doesn't have that aggressive play. But if he can just develop in a 15 to 18 footer to where he can hit that consistently, that really opens up the middle. Because right now, you have just one big man, Allen, in the middle, kind of clogging it up. You can't have two big guys down in there to where, you know, when Garland and Mitchell are looking to drive to the hoop, now they have all this traffic. You need to space it out a little more. And right now, nobody's afraid of Mobley's jump shot. So he's getting better, but he's just not progressing as quickly as we want him to.
Yeah. We'll see what happens when they come back. I know the trade deadline's on the move here, so we'll see what happens. The other Cleveland news that happened, Bri, a little baseball action, bud.
Okay.
Amazon Prime bought a minority stake in Bally Sports. I think it was like $125 million they bought into Bally Sports Network. So that's the Diamond Sports. That's the one that controls the Cleveland Guardians. So I don't know what is going to come out of that. Hopefully we can get our Guardians games back on Bally Sports and actually watch our Guardians games again without being blacked out and everything else. But we'll see what happens. It might be on Amazon. Who knows?
We'll see where it goes. I'd take that over Bally's.
Well, we'll see what happens. So I know that the MLB commissioners wanting Amazon to kind of dabble into baseball because you got like Peacock doing their thing with golf and all that stuff. And, you know, all these other streaming services are kind of dipping their toe into certain brands and certain leagues. So it'd be nice, you know, get Guardians a little bit, maybe a little bit more cash flow with a little TV deal, Brian, a little bit of little hand me out. But
I'm not expecting much.
I don't expect much either. That's almost like a pack of gum and a Tic Tac that they're going to give you. But we'll see what happens with that also, Brian. I mean, it's interesting that Amazon's kind of dabbling their toe into the baseball community now, especially after getting Thursday Night Football on Prime. Kind of curious to see what it's going to turn into.
Sure.
I think it would be good for baseball. I think it'd be great for baseball if it happens, because I think it would get more people, reach more people, and kind of grow the brand a little bit more. But I mean, how do you think about Amazon kind of dipping their toe in to baseball right now?
Oh, I think it'd be a tremendous thing for baseball. You know, primarily because they have billions and billions of dollars in cash, and they would find a way to get the product to more people. You know, like I said, with Bally's, I don't get Bally's. I don't know a ton of people that do get the Bally's. But I know a bunch of people who have Amazon Prime. So if you tell me, hey, what is Amazon Prime now a month? $15 a month?
I think we do the yearly. I think it's $99 a year.
I know. Is that all it is? Okay. Yeah, we got it too. But yeah, I remember it was 99, so they haven't upped their price as much. So yeah, $99 a year. And it's not like you're just paying $99 just to watch the Guardians. You know, there's a bunch of other things that you get with it, and the Guardians would just be an added bonus onto that. So yeah, I think that's a tremendous thing for Guardians fans. Yeah, you're not paying. I heard rumblings about people being unhappy with the product that Bally's was putting out, and, you know, the app and everything. And so it just sounds like it was a mess. I don't have personal experience with it, but yeah, Amazon Prime is a quality product. So moving to that would be great news.
Heck yeah, it would be. We'll see what happens. I mean, that'd be absolutely amazing if Amazon Prime kind of comes in and just, I wouldn't say corner the market of the baseball market, but just promote it a little bit better. Because I mean, like, you, the Thursday night stuff that they did this year, now granted they had a couple of Thursday night clunkers of games, but then they, at the end, towards the end, they had some pretty good games at the end. And, you know, their broadcast, everything else, I mean, I loved it. I mean, Al Michaels kind of I mean, I think he's out there, but I mean, just some of the games he was just not even, don't even care. But I mean, how can you call a game when it's, you know, 22-0 or 6-3, or, you know, you're just trying to fill in time, and it's like you can only fill in so much time on games like that. So, but yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. I mean, I think it'll be great. I really do, Brian. I think that would be the game changer for baseball if that happened. I think that would just put baseball back on the map, hopefully.
Sure. Yep.
As you can tell, I'm kind of delaying right now because I really don't want to talk about the next subject because it's still a little sore.
Gotta move on.
We gotta do it. We gotta rip off the band-aid, Bri. Cleveland Browns lost to the Houston Texans 45-14, Bri. Now I'm gonna throw my little parade up right now. I told you I was worried about Houston. I was scared of Houston. and you're like, I ain't scared of a rookie quarterback. I ain't scared of nothing. Right. That rookie quarterback played pretty damn good.
But you never mentioned the thing that killed us the most was their offensive coordinator. You never said, I'm scared of their offensive coordinator. He's I understand CJ Stroud's numbers and everyone wants to throw bouquets at him. But to me, it was two things. It was the offensive coordinator, because the misdirection plays that they ran, we had nobody there. How many times did Stroud naked bootleg out to the backside and there was nobody and you knew bad stuff was happening? And then the offensive line, nobody's going to give them credit, but Stroud didn't get touched. And we have what most people would consider one of the best defensive lines. So whether that's the offensive line playing out of their mind, whether that's the offensive coordinator scheming it up to say, hey, we got to double team Myles Garrett, we got to do this and make sure there's no pressure on our quarterback. And yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Stroud played well. And he's going to get all the headlines because he's a rookie and he's putting up these numbers. But to me, it was the offensive line and it was the offensive coordinator. If you go back and watch that game, there was guys were running wide open. And they just took advantage of our weaknesses. Our safeties are terrible right now. Grant Delpit was missed like crazy. They're running all over. We had third and fourth, fifth string safeties back there, undrafted rookies who, made a play against the Jets, but probably didn't really belong on an NFL field. And they said, okay, we can expose them here. And they did it. I mean, the tight end screen goes for 80 yards. Those 80 yards go on CJ Stroud's passing yards, but it was a 4-yard pass.
Still broke it and ran it, Bry. I mean, you can't do anything.
Yeah, I give credit to the tight end for sure. Third string, Brevin Jordan, is that his name?
You just don't want to give it up for it. It's fine, Bry. Go ahead. It's because he's an Ohio State quarterback, and that's fine.
I told you he's my favorite Ohio State quarterback.
Because he never beat Michigan.
I think I respect him. I think he's a good dude. Every interview I've heard him, I think he carries himself well. So I have respect for him. And yes, it doesn't hurt that he lost to Michigan twice. But yeah, like I said, everyone's going to be talking about CJ Stroud because he's a quarterback, because he's this new rookie sensation. But yeah, go back and watch the game. He made some throws. Don't get me wrong. He also missed some throws. He missed that dude wide open. Yeah, threw it over his head. So we got lucky there. Otherwise, his numbers would have been, I don't even think he passed for 300 yards, did he?
274 and three touchdowns.
Right. And
But Bry, he was
274 was a tight end running where we couldn't tackle.
Yeah. And blown coverages. And JOK got greedy on that one. And a lot of things happened on that one. Yeah. Your boy Nico Collins played great, though. Six catches, 90 yards, buddy.
Yeah. I don't. Forgive me for not celebrating that one.
All right. But it just sucks. And it just sucks because that team showed up there and we thought the team was going to show up to play. And it looked like truthfully, Bry, it looks like they did not even want to go to Houston. It's like two people got off the bus and wanted to play, and everybody else. Like, how many times did Newsom get burnt? And I mean, not like a little bit burnt, like fucking torched, Bry. And then you're watching JOK peel off his guy trying to get a sack on Stroud, and that's when Brevin Jordan broke it free. But there was Emerson there to make the tackle, and it was a little arm tackle. You had just mistakes everywhere. Flacco, pick six, another pick six. Offensive line could not block anybody. We could not run the damn ball on anybody. And we just sat and just watched us get our ass kicked. Like, I actually got excited, Bry, when it was after halftime. We got to stop right after halftime. I'm like, this is perfect. You can get within one score. We're going to get back in this game. Boom, pick six. And I was like, all right, see what happens next. Guess what? Boom, pick six. All right, here we go. Like, it just turned into a shit show. It was like, it was watching a clown show on fire, like a little car just driving around, just And that's all it was the rest of the game, Bri. And I sat there and watched it. I'm like, this is how you're going to go out? Like, Bri, I could have taken a 3-point loss. I could have taken a last second touchdown. I could have just, but losing that way, like, that's the one that kills me. Like, you're supposed to coach these guys up. These guys have played great for the past 6 games, and you got out coached, you got out schemed. And Bri, they did the smart thing. The times that the Browns have lost with this defense, Bri, you just said it. Short, quick passes. Get the ball out, get it in space, let it go. That's how we've gotten beat. Guess who did it? We had Denver do it to us. LA Rams did it to us. Just, Bri.
they were attacking the edges. They couldn't do much up the middle, so they were attacking outside, and they just killed us. And that's why I give a ton of credit to their offensive coordinator, because it was the misdirection plays. It was the, hey, we've watched a bunch of tape, and we know you're a very aggressive defense, so we're going to make you think we're going over here, and everyone's just going to crash to the ball or crash to one route over here, and then we're going to have a double move or something and then pitch it back the other way. Because how many times did you see C.J. Stroud fake a handoff and then bootleg around and nobody's in sight? Nobody's even in the camera because we're all attacking because we think, oh, he definitely is going to hand it off here. And then he has just all day to throw. So he's a good enough quarterback to where if you give him the kind of time we gave him, he's going to dice you up. And so he did that in the first half. And then I felt like, just to break it down, maybe talk a little bit about the first half, I felt like our offense played okay in the first half. We came out a little stale, whether you think that's just maybe nerves, maybe taking that week off. I don't think it had a huge impact on the game, but maybe for the first series or two, I think we had 2 3 and outs to start the game on offense, so that wasn't great. But eventually we got into it, and we scored 14 points in the first half. So to me, as an offense, you score 14 points in the first half, that should be good enough to keep you into the game. It was just, unfortunately, the big plays and the defense just, I don't know what it is about this defense on the road. I thought they showed a stat to where we were the best defense at home, and maybe they showed some stat to where we were the worst defense in the NFL on the road. So how you have that discrepancy, I won't understand. But you know, personally, I think everybody got super fat and happy off the Jets game. I think the players did. I think the fans did for sure. You know, buying into Flacco's the greatest thing ever. Yeah, so what if he turns the ball over? He's still fantastic. He's unbelievable. And we all just went into that Houston game thinking there's no way we're going to lose this game. But in all reality, if you really think back to the teams we beat, how we won, you know, we barely beat the Bears. Nobody wants to talk about it. They would just want to talk about we crushed the Jets and we put up 35 points in the first half against the Jets and blah, blah, blah. The Jets probably look like they had given up at that point. We beat the Jaguars, who, other than the Eagles, they might have been the worst team in the final 6 weeks of the season because they just weren't right. So, I mean, it almost makes sense when, in hindsight. I'm not going to say I was – you know, thinking that we really had a chance of losing to the Texans. But looking back now, it's like, man, we got really high on the Browns because of that Jets game. And I feel like that was the only reason that we were flying so high, because we beat the freaking Jets. And so, yeah, everything that you had a little bit of worry about going into this Houston game reared its ugly head. And it was the tackles, our backup tackles, struggling against these pass rushers who we didn't play in the first Houston game, getting pressure on Flacco, and it was the safeties. I mean, my God, I kept saying, like, man, is D'Anthony Bell hurt? Why is Ronnie Hickman still in there? He's killing us out there. And I'm not throwing dirt. I don't want to throw dirt on his grave because he's an undrafted rookie. You shouldn't count on an undrafted rookie in a playoff game to save your season. And so, you know, he kind of came back down to earth. I know he had the pick six against the Jets, but he is what he is at this point, and it killed us. And I don't want to single one guy out because most of the defense didn't play well. Taki was getting burned, like you said. Greg Newsome, Emerson's attempt at tackling was kind of pathetic. Other than JOK, I think I felt good about his performance. He was playing with his hair on fire. Other than that, the defense really struggled. And then they did go to half, and I feel like they made, well, in the short amount that we saw, they made some adjustments, and they come out in the second half, and it can really get out of hand, and we make them go three and out. So you're thinking we have a chance now. Okay, get the ball back. We're start driving, like you said. We get down in their territory, 30, 40-yard line. Hey, even if we get a field goal here, it's a one-score game. And then Flacco does what he's frankly prone to doing. And he's made up for it the entire time he's been in Cleveland. But you got to figure eventually it's going to rear its ugly head and the turnovers were going to kill you. And they absolutely killed you. And you got you maybe could have came over and overcame the first pick six. But that second pick six was just a backbreaker. Yeah. Game was over at that point, you know. So I feel bad that the defense, you know, had a chance to get their momentum back. They got the three and out. And then the next time they took the field, now you're down 24 points and the game is over. So they didn't even get a chance to help you get back in the game. It was just, oh, it was a gut punch, man. I'm telling you, obviously I'm fired up about it, but yeah, it just sucks. As time goes on, I'll start to appreciate this run that the Browns made because they still should not have been there. They're on their fourth quarterback. They didn't have their $230 million quarterback. They didn't have their Hall of Fame running back. We can go down the list of the guys that they didn't have. So just the fact to be in the playoffs really was quite an accomplishment. But again, everyone's expectations were sky high. I attribute that to the Jets game and, frankly, the first half of the Jets game. And I think they're looking back now, they're a little unrealistic.
Casey chimed in and said it was a tale of two halves. Both tails sucked.
Right. Absolutely. Defense right. was terrible in the first half. Offense was terrible in the second half.
All right, Bryce. A lot of guff has been coming out on social media about this game. All right. And afterwards, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to reflect. And, you know, after you take, you know, a few days off after the loss and you kind of just look back at the season, was this season a disappointment, Bri? Because a lot of fans think it was a disappointment. Like, we didn't get any further than the, you know, playoff, the wild card playoff game. And I still believe, and Bri, I honestly believe that if it wasn't for this coaching staff and this players coming together, Bri, this could have been a shit show of a season. Like, we could have been, you know, 5-12 just sitting there. Like, we honestly could have been at a dumpster fire, but these guys just kept grinding and fighting. And, you know, a lot of people would sit there like, well, you lost and, you know, next year it's not going to be the same or anything like that. Most of these players are going to be here next year, Bri, and they're going to remember coming together and grinding this out. Now, I'm not saying next year is going to be great and we're going to go to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but this experience that they went through with actually winning, Bri, winning without a quarterback, without running back, without tackles, without safeties, every adversity that you could get with a team, you had it. It's just, you got to take it for what it is and what a ride it was, Bri. And you can't be disappointed in this season. Are we disappointed that we didn't go further? Yes. But were you really expecting them to be in the playoffs after Chubb, Conklin, Watson, Garrett, you know, safeties, Delpit, linebackers, cornerbacks, Ward? Guess what? Rookie tackle. You know, it just kept coming. Just kept coming. And you can only take so many body blows, Bri, before that one catches you and knocks you down. And that body blow was against Houston. They hit you where they had to hit you. And that's just ended up being the end of it. But I am so happy for this team and the ride they went on. because I've seen so many Browns teams like this, Bri, shit to bed.
Yeah, it was just to me. I mean, looking back, and I haven't gone back to watch the game because I really don't care to. But yeah, just it was a masterful performance by the Texans. They clearly studied the tape from the first game. Amari Cooper killed him. They said, okay, we're sticking Derek Stingley on him. And he did not have a catch on Derek Stingley. He had four catches in the game, but all of them came on somebody else. Maybe they're playing zone or something like that. So they made the adjustments there. And just going against our defense, you know, it's a daunting task. And they had the perfect game plan. That's why I said, like, just go back and watch, and you'll see they throw these quick passes out to the sidelines or these play actions where the quarterback's running wide open. They had all sorts of space. So, you know, to me that says, yeah, the quarterback's making the play that he needs to make, but the play is designed to go right there, and they throw it there, and nobody's around him. And then they catch it, and they – get a bunch of yards after the catch too. So yeah, I tip my cap to I can't remember the name of their offensive coordinator, and I think he's getting some buzz to be a next head coach in the league. But he you know, he outcoached Jim Schwartz, and it sucks to say that. But as much as we love Jim Schwartz, he had a tough day, and they made the adjustments. We did not. Who knows whether we would have in the second half. We didn't get that opportunity. But, yeah, and also don't underestimate, and nobody's really talking about the loss of Anthony Walker. Last year, yeah. he was the heart and soul of our defense. Our defense fell apart when he had to leave with injury, and he wasn't there. As great as JOK played, you know, he's Walker's the leader of our defense. He's making calls. He's helping guys out. Before the play and all. So I think that had an effect, even though he wasn't having a tremendous season. You know, he's your quarterback of the defense. So I think that definitely committed to our demise in the playoff game, unfortunately.
Well, Bright, the season's over for us now. We got some news later on that we'll talk about. But Brian, let's reflect a little bit. I mean, obviously, we got a coach that's going to be a coach of the year running. We got a defensive player of the year in the running. Out of this season, Brian, give me five names that stood out to you this season that either A, you weren't expecting to, Brian, or just shined like they should. I know Myles Garrett's going to, you know, be in there because Myles Garrett played great. But even like Chris said in here, looked like Myles Garrett wasn't the same after he injured his shoulder.
Sure. There's definitely something to be said for that. I think he's not going to come out. He's not a Baker Mayfield who's going to come out and tell you, this is hurting me. I'm struggling with this. He's just powering through. He's going to play every single down, not say much about it, but, you know, look at the numbers. He was a monster the first half of the season. He had one sack in the second half. And there was talks at one point after a game and what, late October, early November, he had to have help taking his shirt and his shoulder pads off because he couldn't lift his arm above his head. And we were all thinking, oh, great, he's out for a month or he's going to be done for the rest of the year. And he didn't miss a game. So dude's a warrior. Yeah, I know it's unfortunate the way the season ended for him. But, yeah, hopefully we get him back full strength again and he can be that warrior again.
All right, so what are a couple other players you got listed that just, to your mind, kind of stood out this year for you?
I think the two that really stand out to me as being breakouts are Njoku and JOK, because I feel like they took the next step. And Njoku kind of almost didn't really break out until he had Flacco, but I feel like he started making strides to being that Pro Bowl tight end all throughout the year. And just what he did primarily with the ball in his hands and what he did after he made the catch was something spectacular, something we've been waiting for a while. And then JOK, I mean, he took it to the next level. There was talk before the season that what's this guy doing? You know, there's no way the Browns keep him around. And, you know, he was making plays left and right out there and tackles for losses and just playing on instincts and playing with the speed that we drafted him with because he's a special, special athlete. And he finally showed it this year. And then maybe one other or two other that I'd say would be Amari Cooper, just continuing to do what he does and maybe even, taking it to the next level with his performance, especially thinking back to the Houston game. But just, you know, he was our number one all year. He was the only wide receiver you could really count on. And the other teams were game planning for him week in and week out, and he still found a way to get it done. So he would be another guy. And then DeJuan Jones would be the other one I'm thinking of, just because we weren't expecting much from him. You know, reports early in the year were this guy can't get in shape. He can't even, get on the field. He's always got this wrong or that wrong. I don't know if we can count on him. He's going to be a major project. And then you know, week two, he gets thrusted into action against TJ Watt and he holds his own. And, he is somebody now that we can count on going forward. And that's something that Andrew Berry can't say a lot of fourth round picks that he's made that we're able to count on. So, yeah, I guess those ones kind of stick out to me just off the top of my head.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones for me, too, to step in as a rookie and do what he did. And Casey said right there is a huge bright spot. You're not expecting that. Like you said, right there at the beginning of the year, it was, man, he is just over top of barrel puking because he's just not in shape. And they whipped him into shape pretty quick. Another one for me, Bri, Grant Delpit, having him show up this year and actually playing the way he plays. Obviously, JOK played great this year. But another one that kind of surprised me was our center Pochich. Just having him be like, I found out our offensive line is as strength as our, front three right there between Batonio, him, trading for him from Seattle, getting him in here, second round pick, it just, you saw it, you didn't know what you were getting. And guess what, Brian, you didn't hear a lot about him the entire year, but he was solid all the way through. Played hurt also along with the rest of them on that offensive line, but him coming in like that. And then last one for me, Kareem Hunt stepping in. I know he hasn't done much, but coming back a Cleveland native, knowing what he needed to do for this team, which wasn't going to be great. It was going to be muddy. It was going to be just him being smash mouth, getting 3 yards, maybe breaking one if he can, but he knew what he was getting into when he came back to replace Nick Chubb, and just him coming back and kind of, doing what he had to do here in Cleveland. I can't thank him enough. Let's see. Oh, wow. Is Brian wearing a wig or is that some really bad hat hair?
Hat hair, baby.
That's hat hair.
toupee. Wouldn't that be funny if I had a toupee on?
That would have been great.
I could do that. I could pull off a toupee. Maybe a blonde one.
I think you could. Oh, my God. It'd be great. You need to get the Tiger King, like the mullet, the... little Mississippi mud flap there, buddy.
I don't think so. I don't know. Not me. No? Not in this lifetime.
All right. The other news that came out with your Cleveland Browns is, buddy, they cleaned house on offense. Van Pelt got fired along with Stump Mitchell and the tight end coach, who I don't even know who the hell the tight end coach is. Bri, what are your thoughts about the offensive coordinator, running back coach, and tight end coach all getting fired?
It was surprising when I first heard about it. I was not expecting that. But after having time to reflect, at least on Van Pelt, I think this could be a good thing for him. Stump Mitchell, I think he's a class act. He's a guy that everyone in the organization sounded like they liked. So that one might be a little head scratching, but there's probably stuff behind the scenes that we're not privy to. And the tight ends coach, I can't really explain that one either because Njoku had the best season of his career. But again, who knows? Maybe he wanted to move on. Maybe he had different opportunities to do something else. But Van Pelt's probably the one that'll have the biggest effect. So, yeah, I can't say I'm like super torn up that he's gone, because the offense really didn't look great ever. Flacco played well, and you know he hit the deep ball. But I think he was just, even in the I don't know if you saw or heard the clip of D'Amico Ryans talking to his linebacker, saying like, "Hey, this is what they're going to do. You just have to trust me and jump the route." And the guy did it, and he was the guy who had the second pick six. But it seemed to me like Flacco's just reading the defense before the play, like we talked before, and he's just throwing it to a spot. And he makes up his mind before the play, before the snap even happens. So I don't know if that's Stefanski. I don't know what's Van Pelt. But I'm hoping that the offensive coaches, Stefanski, takes a step back and they say, okay, we're married. Whether you like it or not, Justin, whether you like it or not, we're married to Deshaun Watson. So we have to find a way to get the most out of him. I know everyone wants to sign Flacco, this and that. I mean, if they do, great, I'll take him. But he's your backup. So you have to find the way to get the most out of your starter. And so Flacco was great for Stefanski's offense. Now we need to find an offensive coordinator who's great for Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if that's Stefanski. I don't know if Stefanski has the humility to take a step back and say, all right, maybe I'm not the best option for Deshaun Watson. Maybe I need to go out and find somebody who has an open mind, who can work with him better than I can, because all I know is this one system who, you know, is great for 38-year-old statue immobile quarterbacks who are going to sit in the pocket. But we need somebody who can work with this mobile quarterback who is going to do some special things with his legs. So yeah, you know, they surprised me last year with the hiring of Jim Schwartz, because that was kind of against the grain. Remember, Sean Desai, was it, who went to Philadelphia, who was the analytics guy, who would have fit right in, you know, sign him up. He's going to fall in line with all the other coaches. And they went against that, and they went with Schwartz. And that was for best for the team. So I'm hoping they do something similar this year with the offensive side of the ball. And rather than just hiring a Stefanski disciple or somebody who runs this Kubiak offense, they find somebody who's going to be best for Watson, and because what's best for Watson is the same thing that's best for this offense. When your quarterback is performing at a high level, your offense is performing at a high level. Nick Chubb's going to be able to run the ball in any offense. These offensive linemen are going to be able to block in any offense as long as Bill Callahan is their coach. So you got to find a way to maximize the most potential with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Justin, I got it. Justin.
Oh, said, I poked the bear.
Hey,
anytime I say Deshaun Watson three times, Justin comes in.
Oh, it's been in there. I haven't brought it up, but he said we could easily cut or trade him. Denver needs a quarterback. Along with that, he could eat some of the cap for us. That's not true. Happening.
Not happening. Wake up, Justin. You're dreaming.
Because right now, if that happens, that means the owner of this football team has got to admit he made a horrible mistake, and he's not going to do that.
Financially, it's not possible. Yeah. But I mean, regardless of if, say, Jimmy Haslam wakes up tomorrow and he hates Deshaun Watson and he wants to trade him, you can't. Get it out of your head. This is why we can't sign Joe Flacco, is because, ironically, the reason we can't sign Joe Flacco is because people who love Joe Flacco so much, they're the reason we can't sign him, because it's just going to be this. As soon as Watson throws an incomplete pass, they're just going to be insufferable. And it's going to be a terrible I call them Baker Bros, because I think the Baker Bros have transformed now into Flacco, Wacko for Flacco guys, and they're just going to bring the rest of us down this whole offseason. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. That conversation's coming, but we're not going
to. It's coming for 8 months, and it's going to be us saying the exact same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, we'll save the Baker conversation for next week, Bri. So, Bri, let's get into it. We're getting here close to the end of the show, and we got to close this thing out. And I'm kind of surprised that the offensive coaches got let go, but you know something, at this point in time, you need this offense to do better than what it has been. And granted, yes, with having Flacco here, there were spurts and everything else. But before that, it muddled. And you need something to complement this defense. I mean, just a little bit. You need some sort of consistency with this offense that we just don't have yet. And if we get everybody back healthy, and the other thing was, Bri, you got to get healthy. That's the thing. Injuries killed us. We got to get healthy and see what happens. And, you know, thank God he's doing well in Tampa. Yes, thank God Baker's doing well in Tampa. Just
not really. I'm not rooting for him.
Hey.
What do I care?
You're just, Bri.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, these Baker guys, go for Tampa. We don't need you as Browns fans. You don't have to root for the Browns. You can root for the Buccaneers. Just go root for the Buccaneers and we'll be fine.
Jeez. Okay, we're moving on to Fat Boy Tuesday. Oh, God, I'm going back to Tuesday. Fat Boy Thursday, Bri. We're just moving on. You all right?
Oh, you and I could have beaten the Eagles. They gave up a long time ago. If he beats the Lions, I'll be impressed.
Well, we'll find out this weekend, huh?
Sure.
All right, Bri. It's time.
I'll lay the six.
All right. It's time for Fat Boy Thursday. Our favorite food topics that we're getting into. And Bri, I sat there and started thinking because Hope went to West Virginia, came back, was talking about chicken salad that was made. And I started thinking about stuff. And I wanted to start reminiscing about family meals. Like, what is a meal that reminds you of your family? Like, either A, growing up, or now getting everybody together. Do you have, like, a go-to meal that just, like, resonates? Like, I know you do spaghetti on Christmas because it's something different, right?
That's my wife's family. My wife's family does that.
What about your family?
Yeah, we would do, we would all go to my grandparents in the, when I think of family meals, I think of going to my grandparents on the farm and just having these big, giant family meals. And the first one that comes to mind is my aunts would make something called Johnny Marzetti. You ever heard of Johnny Marzetti? I still don't even know what it is. It's basically lasagna, right?
It's like goulash almost. I know what you're talking about.
So, yeah, it's like, I don't even know. It's some type of noodle, and it's almost like a sloppy lasagna is about the best way I could explain it. So, yeah, so that one comes to mind, spaghetti. Yeah, we do spaghetti a lot, too. Boy, I'm trying to think what else. My mom would make pepperoni bread, which is my favorite. So that would be, you know, not to look too far ahead into our top three, but that was a go-to. My family, I feel like my mom made, whenever my mom was cooking, she would make spaghetti. Whenever my dad was cooking, he would make barbecue chicken on the grill. And I didn't like it. I'm really? Telling you, I hate, when I growing up, I did not like barbecue chicken, which now I eat it probably 2-3 times a week in like in wraps and stuff like that. But yeah, something about it, I didn't like it, but now it's simple, but it's really, really good.
Yeah, Johnny Marzetti is the macaroni noodles. It's made like spaghetti, but then it's baked in a dish with like cheese on top of it. So it's kind of like a sort of like lasagna. But yeah, Johnny Marzetti. Yeah, like my family. Jocelyn, my sister's lasagna, which is my mom's lasagna, and Thanksgiving dinner is always good. The one that really got to me was, and I started thinking about it, Bri, you ever had shredded chicken sandwiches?
I have. Yep.
Okay. That comes to me because it seemed like every family event that we had, there was always a crock pot with shredded chicken sandwiches. And then you just have everybody kind of playing cards and doing that kind of stuff. So that was always one. My mom's spaghetti was always one that hit hard. Porcupine meatballs, Bri.
Wow, tell me about it.
Oh, porcupine meat. It's like almost like the inside of a cabbage roll, but they're made into meatballs cooked in a pressure cooker. So the meatballs are like, yeah, that big or so. About the size of a little smaller than a baseball, we'll say. Like a.
And they're stuffed?
No, they're not stuffed. There's rice in it. So they're like a meatball with rice in them. And then you put them in a pressure cooker. They're not, well, they're not stuffed.
It's or you're saying you roll the meatballs, ground beef, and rice together?
Yeah,
you
rice
roll
together.
Okay.
And then you put them in a pressure cooker with some like tomato sauce and something like that, and you cook it up. And then you come out, and we always put it on top of mashed potatoes. So you get like that thing of mashed potatoes, porcupine meatball right on top of it, and go.
That sounds good.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. And then finally, you know, my family loves to bake, Bri, and most of the time it's always pie. Like there's some sort of pie in my family, whether it be blackberry pie, apple, you know, just something that somebody's made is just sitting there as a dessert. And that just reminds me, like, I just walk in, like, even down with my sisters, my dad for Thanksgiving brought over like 8 pies. Like, who brings 8 pies to Thanksgiving?
Wow.
But you know what I mean?
Like, go wrong.
Just that's kind of what I consider a family. But the what really got to it was just shredded chicken sandwiches, because I really do remember just sitting around crock pot just full of shredded chicken, and you just make the honey buns, make yourself a sandwich. And just sit down. And that was just kind of a meal, quick meal. Everybody was nice and warm, and we just enjoyed each other's company.
So being down at the cabin in Hocking Hills this weekend, we kind of all figure out what the meals are going to be months in advance. And usually the highlight of the meals for me is crock pot night. And so it's just like sloppy joes in a crock pot, buffalo chicken in a crock pot. I would make the meatballs with the jelly and the barbecue sauce. My aunt would make bean dip, which is like a bunch of cheese and beans and ground beef and stuff like that. And then the taco dip. And so just all these things that are macaroni and cheese, anything you can make in a crock pot, you know, that's right up my alley. This year we didn't do it. We kind of pivoted and we did a slider night, which is kind of similar to crock pot night, but yeah, you know me, anything appetizer, like I would take that 10 times out of 10, you know, compared to a giant like meal, mashed potatoes. When I think of family meals, I think of like mashed potatoes, green beans, meatloaf, you know, turkey, something like that, where you pass it around. But yeah, I'm a grazer. I go up, I get a small plate of something, and then I go sit down and I eat it. And then I go up and I get another small plate of something. And then, you know, there's 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 rounds of that.
Another one I forgot, and then we'll get into our top 3. Soup, beans, and ham.
Did Juice chime in? That was
that was me. Like, we're getting ready to have it sometime soon, because I gave Rick a couple ham bones. And we're about to have some soup, beans, and some cornbread, man. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Chili and cornbread. Oh, I'm a big fan of that.
Yes. We had, what did Rick make for us this week? Oh, he made Cuban sandwiches.
What is a Cuban? Is it just ham?
No, the way he made his, it was ham, pulled pork, Swiss cheese on the Italian bread. And then he did the Dijon mustard, dill pickle. And then he put it as a whole loaf, like the whole, you know, Italian bread loaf. He cut it in half or cut it through the middle, stack up the sandwich, and then put it in the oven, and then put a pan on top of it to get the nice crunch to it, and then cut them in sections. Dude, that hit the spot this week.
He's a culinary genius.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, look, here we go. Rhubarb. Rhubarb pie hit it. There's 4 pies.
Sure.
Giving.
Absolutely.
Great nickname, Big Bri. It's been my nickname since before you were born. I'm 64. There, let's see.
What culinary genius? What was I? What
no, was Zeke that? Dog. New to our show, buddy.
So nice.
Thanks for watching.
Appreciate you, Zeke.
And Zeke is his border collie, as you can see. Oh, God, I love border collies, too. Man,
I'm smartest. I've heard one of the smartest dogs there is.
I miss Border Collies. Damn, I miss
Taco. Oh, Taco Border Collie?
Yeah, I miss Taco. We got a raw deal with Taco.
Yep.
All right, well, let's get into our top three, Brian. Let's close out this show. Zeke, thank you so much for watching. Brian, let me play this. And Zeke was an executive chef for over 42 years. Wow. Okay, you definitely.
We got to have him on for a
trivia. Heck yeah,
we for Fat Boy Tuesday, Thursday.
All right, so Brian, we're still going with food with our top three, and it was definitely bone chilling outside. And I want to know, when you're that cold, Brian, you're coming into the house, what is your top three foods that you go to warm up?
Well, we touched on some of these. First one I think of, and I can close my eyes and picture the steam coming off of it, is like a spaghetti or a lasagna. Nothing better than that. Get some garlic bread with it. Probably more partial to a lasagna, but okay. But spaghetti is just so simple. Lasagna takes forever to cook. And one time my wife had me make her lasagna from scratch and took me all day to do it. So spaghetti's almost as good. And it's probably like takes you 30 minutes to make or something like that. So spaghetti's number three. I'm going Sloppy Joe's number two. Because you can just have bun after bun, fill it up as much as you want. Some falls off, scoop it up with a chip. Very simple. Not much to that either. And then number one, I mean, it's a classic, but it's what I think of when it's super cold out, and it's chicken noodle soup.
Nice. All right, Brian. We had Zeke Dog said he made beef stew for the Cardiac Kids games under Sipe. Dived in with chili, tomato soup, and hot apple pie.
Yep.
Now, all right. So, Brian, my number three, and I think about it because it goes in a crock pot and you can cook it all day. Pot roast. You get a little beef stew and pot roast in a crock pot. Come home with that, little potatoes, carrots, get you nice and warm. Brian, my number two. All right. And I've always done this most days when I come home, especially if it's really cold outside. And Nick Weary brought it up on Twitter because I put it out on Twitter. Hot tea. I would always get a hot tea when I get home. A little bit of honey in it, maybe a little bit of lemon juice, and just something to warm me up on the inside. Either hot tea, or if you want to get really technical, get a little hot toddy with the whiskey and everything in it, Brian.
Never had it, but it sounds awesome. Yeah. Like maybe this weekend.
Yep, Justin said hot toddy. And then, Brian, my number one, and this goes back to as a kid, as an adult, as a grown-up, now I'm giving it to my kids, something says nice and warm when you come into a grilled cheese and some tomato soup, Brian.
There you go.
That absolutely hits hot right there, like you wouldn't believe.
No doubt.
So those are what we like on a cold day. Chime in on our comments here, and then after the show, if you have some other stuff, let's see here. There's pot roast, is great, or short ribs. Sounds delicious. So chime in, give us your top three, and we'll keep bringing them up as we go on. Hot dogs, tacos. We're not cheese.
Now we're talking. Yeah, I'm with you. Hot dogs and tacos, nice and easy and delicious every time. You bringing up pot roast got me thinking about my wife loves pot roast, and I'm not a huge fan. I mean, it just doesn't do anything for me. I'll eat it, but. One night, Monday and Tuesday, we'll have pot roast, and then she'll throw it in the fridge. And the next day, we'll have beef stew, and it's just the same thing. And she just added beef broth to it. And then on come Friday and Saturday, we're having vegetable soup, which is the same thing with a little bit of beef. And she just keeps adding more broth to it, and she keeps passing it off as something different. I'm like, no. This is all the same stuff. How stupid do you think I am? I mean, it's all okay, but I don't love any of it.
As long as it changed names, it's different, bud.
I'm done with it after Tuesday.
Hey, that's all right. You keep saying this right now. I'll show her this video clip, and I'll get
that. Oh, she knows. I've called her out plenty of times. Like, you're absolutely crazy. No, I'm going to Taco Bell. Forget that.
All right, Brian. Oh, God, I love it. Oh, what a great show tonight. All right, Bri, we got to finish up our trivia, which is brought to you by City Dogs Cleveland. And, Bri, I asked you first off, what is the world's favorite cookie?
Well, I'm thinking maybe you threw me a curveball here. And I'm trying to think outside of the U.S. I went fortune cookie.
No, you're close, but no. Justin, that's a no with the chocolate chip. The world's favorite cookie is an Oreo cookie. Is the world's
favorite. Oh, boy.
Go figure that one, Brian.
They're good. I'm not going to crap on the Oreo, but I'd be with Justin. Chocolate chips, classic.
You got to go double stuff if you're getting that Oreo, though. Don't give me that little pansy cookie.
They're illegal in California, I heard.
Well, I wonder why. There's a lot of things illegal in California that we can't get into on this show. So, Bri, the other one that I had here, and I got to bring it up on Beth, was the Jinx, our city dog this
week. Yeah.
All right, let me bring up pictures of Jinx, by the way. If you want to go adopt Jinx, please do so at City Dogs. Go check him out. Beautiful puppy. Look at that face, Bri. So, Bri, mm-hmm. You got two of the four, which was the Pit Bull Terrier and the German Shepherd. The other two rounding it out was the American Stafford Terrier, which is, so he's 43% American Pit Bull, 20% German Shepherd, 19% American Stafford, and 18%.
Let me guess. Spaniel?
American Bulldog.
Bulldog. How did I miss the Bulldog? Absolutely.
All right. So she everybody, thank you guys so much for watching the show tonight. Find us at all of our socials at Ham Illegal. Find us on Network 216. Get a hold of us there. Bri, we got to move quick because guess what? Drank enough this afternoon. You know what it's time for. Got to get moving. So, Bri,
God bless everybody. God bless you. God bless America.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. We want to thank our troops and first responders for everything you guys do so we could do this show. Cannot thank you enough. Zeke, thank you so much for the subscribe and joining the show tonight. You can join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. live here on Network 216 and at Ham Illegal. See you guys next Thursday.
Hey.